prayer leaders are praying people. Pardon me. Because we really believe there's an assault of darkness against the kingdom of God in general, especially in this nation, and then specifically to church, certain churches. Now, what I think classifies different churches is this, is that when John started the book of Revelations, he said to the angel of the church of, and that was talking about a candlestick, that a church is to have a candlestick or have a light that's shining. And so I don't believe that's probably Victory or Zion Hill, but I think that's combining of our hearts. And so what I think the Lord is talking about, that every church possibly in Camden that has a heart toward fulfilling the will of God is considered that light of the Lord. And there's attack against those churches. I feel, when I say churches, I don't talk about buildings. I'm talking about people and people's lives. Because that is the church. And so there's a real assault, a real attack against that. And so, especially in the Camden area, and I think, man, the enemy just trying to take Camden down too. If you didn't know it, Camden's got a glorious prophetic voice. I mean, it's been such prophecies that's went forth over this city that it's just so powerful. And so God has a real destiny for Camden. In fact, Camden, to what it may mean to some of you, and ORU University, there is a picture there of Camden in the midst of one of the meetings that they had years ago here in Camden. They had downtown Camden, and there was an auditorium, not the old movie theater, not either one of the old movie theaters, but there was an auditorium in the second level, kind of, as I understand it, they're kind of where, above where Bruce's used to be before it moved across the street, and that there was an auditorium there. And famous people, A.A. Allen, various ones would come through, powerful men of God. And one night, there came a glory of God in the building here in Camden that they say was unbelievable. You could literally see the glory of God. And they took a picture of it, and it's in ORU campus now. So, because God has just had this prophetic destiny for Camden. I believe a lot of reasons, you know, fail to understand that, you know, Camden one time was considered to be the capital of Arkansas. I mean, it's history. And the Lord doesn't see, he doesn't lose. What God decides to do, he's going to do. But he has to find people that would do it, that will allow him to do it through them. And so so God wants to do some things here in Camden, but more so that God wants to do something in your life. And so that's the way God wants to shine, is to do something really wonderful in all of our lives. And God wants to do something, as I think about, in this church. I do believe that this church was birthed out of vision. It just didn't. In fact, it started in a honky-tonk. Anybody know what a honky-tonk is? This church started in a honky-tonk, and it started with a vision. And really, the vision was birthed out of a little elderly lady named Lillian Keith that stood at a door that had a little window in it and prayed for God to send people in that needed the Lord. And so that's where this church birthed. So then all of us came out of that, out of her heart. We were the cry of God's answer there. But I want to talk some deeper things with you tonight. I want to talk some things. So I don't want to spend a lot of time trying to convince you. That's what, and I have a real tendency of doing that. But there are forces of darkness that's assigned against us in this area. In fact, there is according to the Word of God in Ephesians chapter 6, what it says is there's powers, principalities, rulers, there are, and looking at the book of Daniel 10:10, it will tell you that demonic spirits are assigned to various land masses. There is a principality that tries to rule in this area. Now, whether it's Ouachita County or whether it's just Camden, or it's Camden as outlining communities, but there's a principality according to the book of Daniel, it is. And our job as believers in this area, and that is, has the same agenda as the devil. It has that same agenda to kill, steal, and to destroy, and to remove all hope that the real light of God would ever shine in this area. That's what it is. It doesn't just, the devil never just wants to knock you down. He wants to take the very life out of you. Yes. He wants to knock you down, stomp on you, and break your heart and break your life and wound you to a place where you will never, ever be able to service against him again. And so, I mean, the agenda's hard. Now, the principality that ruled over this area, there's various underlining powers that, and we know prejudice is one of those. We know the poverty is one of those. And so that's where our job is. This church has been all these years. That's why we've determined that we're not going to allow prejudice. I mean, if you want to see the door in this church, just tell us that you're going to not change, because that demonic spirit is so ugly. It attacks race. It attacks financial status. It attacks educational status. It attacks everything. And it is got to be destroyed. And we believe that we have begun chipping away at that one. And the other one is the poverty spirit. And it has tried to lock Camden up. And but I believe God has allowed, you didn't enjoy that with T.D. Jakes this morning? The reason the Lord has allowed the attack is because God sees something so powerfully coming. And it's going to take the attack. It's going to take the strength of the attack. It's going to take hit the blow of the attack to get above that thing. And so, thank the Lord. Well, so there's a principality that rules over it. There's also another principality that rules over El Dorado. And we found out that it was a very different principality. In fact, we usually call the principality that tried to rule over El Dorado a jugular vein, but that's just my name, because it was a death blow. Here, it was a division blow. Here, the principality that ruled here is divisionary. Divorces, breakups, people that join together for business. I mean, all these is betrayal. The principality that's seemed like it's tried to rule here for years and years, and that tried to rule it. Now, the one in El Dorado is different. It's a death blow. It goes after quick deaths. I cannot tell you how many times over the number of years that I received a call from El Dorado in that area, and it would be something like screams that something had taken. I don't know how many times I can tell you that I have close friends in the ministry, pastors, that just died out of nowhere. And I'm not talking about when. You can tell it's demonic when it starts not being reasonable anymore. When it goes beyond reason. And that's why I had to call here. We had four funerals associated with this church last week. We've never had that. And man, I begin to smell the enemy. And when I begin to smell the enemy that he's beginning to track around, he's tracking around, trying to find a breach in the wall somewhere. He's trying to find somebody that's made a hole in the wall. And so that's why I'm so strong. I've taken on another form. I'm alien at the. But what it is, usually there's a real sense of real gentleness in me. There's not that at this time. There is a sense of I will stop the demonic power from killing our people. And wherever that hole is, either you change or you go, because we will not allow that hole here anymore. And I don't usually have that. I've only had that like three times down through the many years. But it's on me now. It's a real sense of warrior. And I don't care who or what. There's a sense that it must stop, because I've done too many funerals. I've wept over too many babies. I've been out there on that too many side. And I found out it's always better to be strong and rough at the first than to have to beg for people to still have life at the end. So I'm heavy on that. And that spirit's on me now. And I'm attacking everything that moves, including Elaine. And you notice she can't move around very fast because I. But I'm serious. I try to make a little joke, but it is a seriousness. Because I feel like unless I do what a pastor would do, many of you would die. I feel that. I feel the devil's tracked. I can feel his plan. And that's what a pastor is supposed to do. A pastor is supposed to stay awake and he's supposed to see the approaching wolf. And he's supposed to do whatever it takes. That's what brought David to his place of prominence was because when a bear came after his sheep, he rode and killed a bear single-handedly. And he rose up and killed a lion. That grace was upon him. And that grace comes on pastors and shepherds to protect flocks. And so as you can feel the movement, you can feel the movement of the wolf as it approaches around the sheep's den. And so at that moment, we've got to do something. Now, El Dorado is like that death blow. And so we didn't go to El Dorado for years without years of prayer. Because the first time we sent someone to El Dorado area, sent a minister down to start a church, first time we sent, I don't know if you remember it, but John and Shirley. And John and Shirley was in great health. They'd just been down there about 3 months, and I got a call right after church on Sunday morning. And it was from John. And he was saying, "But Jerry, something's happened. Something's hit us. Something's happened. Something's hit us." And I tell you what, immediately she was attacked with brain tumor, and she fought such a glorious battle, but then she passed away and John gone. I mean, there's a death struggle. But now, we would not go to the El Dorado area until we felt that prayer had surfaced enough to be able to handle that. And so, but ever since then, that's why there's tried to be such struggles there. But now we've taken off and we've making the plunge toward Pine Bluff. Now, I don't know what to call the spirit of Pine Bluff, but Thelma will really possibly know that, and Brother Donald. But what the Lord told me about it is this. He said the Pine Bluff Principality thinks he's a big boy, but he's not a big boy. That's what God told me. He said he thinks he's a big boy, but he's not a big boy. So that ruling force that's trying to rule over that area there. But what I've been warned of in my spirit, there has been an allegiance made. Never before we've had that. There's been an allegiance made to where before we were just fighting principalities here and then we'd cross county lines or somewhere in here, you could just feel it. You would move into the other principality. But there's been an allegiance made. I really think it came out of the strategy of the Pine Bluff Principality. That the Pine Bluff Principality has some way gathered together the Camden and the Eldred, and they've joined forces now a three-stranded cord is not easily broken, good or bad. In fact, when the Word of God is talking about it, it's talking about it in the bad sense. It's talking about those forces. So when you get forces that's built up and multiplied and wrapped around each other, that's what they do. They're swirling snakes, and they just wrap around each other to get a strength. And so, but let me tell you this. It's no match for the blood. It's no match for the blood of Jesus. It's no match. That's what as the warning that I give you is to speak the blood a lot. Talk about the blood. If you don't understand what you're saying, just talk about the blood of Jesus. Just say, I believe that the blood of Jesus is strong because the blood of Jesus can build a wall. It can build a wall of protection. It can build a wall. So I do think it's that serious. And that's why, man, I tackle everything that moves. Anything, anybody I think could possibly let be an open door or be a host. And I'll be honest with you, every one of us are to a certain degree. When spiritual warfare starts, everyone is under its influence. I mean, you feel the influence of spirit. So everyone is under the influence. But it's when you or I begin to develop the same thought pattern as the principality, that it becomes a stronghold, and that's when we're dangerous. We're not like under the spirits of darkness that be fighting you. Many of you have probably find it is much easier to be agitated, or much easier to be discouraged, or much easier to be upset, you get up somewhere and say, you don't know why it is, I just feel so depressed. And then what those are, you're under influences. They're proven time and time again in the Bible. Elijah, the mighty, mighty man that Elijah was, the powerful vessel of God that Elijah was, as powerful and strong as he was, he killed 450 prophets of Baal, of devil, in one day. Really, it was 800, because he did 400 more. It was 800, really, 50, that he killed in one day's time. He walked right out of that, but that spirit started chasing him. There is revealed through a woman, but I tell you, Jezebel's spirit is male. It doesn't know gender. But it chases the true vessels of God. And it has association with it. It's such a sense of trying to shut your mouth. And so what it will do, it'll make you feel insecure. It'll make you feel not wanted. It'll make you feel not cared. It'll make you. And what it did to Elijah, in a few hours' time, it carried him. And such a mighty man of God. And then he's out there praying, God, I'm ready to die. Please, I'm ready to die. I don't want to live. I don't want to live. I don't want to live. That's what the spirit does. That's the influence there. So there's four major spirits that I believe that we're fighting now. I don't know how they fit in the, I've just been talking about the three major principalities. But there's four major spirits. Let me see, I got them listed here for you. Four major spirits that we're under attack of. And you can do biblical studies on these. And these are not made up names. These are out of the Bible. In fact, the Bible calls them spirits. Every one of these is identified as the absolute spirit of darkness, as the demon of darkness in the Bible. And the spirit of Jezebel. Now that one is a antagonistic demon. It'll snarl at you and it'll demand its control. And then you got the spirit of Absalom. That's just exactly opposite. The spirit of Absalom is manipulated. It manipulates. It's constantly moving, swooing, moving, wooing, manipulating. Then you got the spirit of Python. Now you may think that's odd, but that word is in the Bible. And it's revealed as a spirit in the book of Acts, chapter 27, when Paul cast the spirit of divination out of the young girl. That word divination is the word, Greek word, Python. And has the same characteristics, has the very same characteristics of the snake. It's what a Python does, its ability is not in its bite, although it will bite. The Python's characteristic is to bite you in the face. It shuts off sight. You can't see. You can't figure it out. It will grab you it grabs in the face. I have a video illustrating that very same thing to you, but let's do it maybe next week. It grabs you in the face, comes around your body, and squeezes the life out of you. It causes the pressures and the stress and the distress of life to squeeze the very life of Jesus out. It makes you powerless. And I mentioned that other, the spirit of Leviathan, which I mentioned this morning. It is possibly the most destructive of any of the spirits. But it's deception, is it? It's always looks like something else. Always looks like something else. It's in fact, Leviathan is, that's the one that Satan is considered when he's talking about the spirit of Satan in the Bible, Lucifer. It's given that one. So we can talk about it. Now there's four things that the blood will really, pardon me, there's five things that the blood will promise from the enemy's own eyes. And we'll possibly see it. You think stay for service tonight, we'll possibly get to that and be able to see. There's five things from the devil's own eyes that the blood of Jesus does against him. And these are the five things that the blood protects. It's from the devil's eyes. The things he says he can't get through. He can't get into your life. He can't get into your family. He can't get into your possessions. He can't get into your endeavors. And he can't get into your influence. Those are five things that the devil described himself in the book of Job. He said, I can't get him. You put a wall around him. I can't get through that wall. This is why. These are things I can't get. So if we really stand in the blood, these are the things that the blood should be able to do for us. We may learn some more on that tonight. So, all right, what do we need to do individually? Individually, we just need to be aware. We're influenced. Every one of us are influenced. Just like you can't help but have the influences. So some of these things you're going to be dealing with, discouragement, depression more than normal, anger more than normal, confusion more than normal, short-sightedness, spiritual blindness. These things you're possibly going to be dealing with because that's the scent of the enemy. That's where you can smell him. That's the scent of the enemy. So know that. And you may react under it. The important thing is to recognize it. Second thing, to apologize for it and get forgiveness for it. If you're moving under it, there's only one thing that turns it around, that's repentance. And so if you move around, just stop, recognize it, say, man, you know, this is not me. I know it's not. I'm sorry. And be quick to apologize. Be quick to repent of it. Ask the Lord, forgive me, because I'm not wanting this. At that point, it's not a danger. You're still wrecking. You're still jerking out. I mean, you know, if you stay around a skunk, you don't smell like a skunk. So when that rascal is around, you're going to get some smell on you. That's just part of it. You're going to get it there. So, but you don't want to take on its nature. And the way that people take on nature, I'm going to flip through some scriptures real quick. James chapter 3, verse 5, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are what? Demonic, it says. They're demonic. They're from demons. So when those things begin to appear, John 13 says, so it was during supper, Satan having already put the thought into Judas. So it have these thoughts. Satan put the thought. Now, why did Judas do what he did? Because Satan put the thought there. And Judas allowed himself to develop that thought. He agreed with that thought. When you agree with the thoughts of the enemy, no matter if the enemy is accusing, abusing, whatever it is, if you agree with the thoughts of the enemy, it's become a stronghold in your life. And really, you need to go through some type of deliverance. Either self-deliverance, you need to break that thing off of you, or if you can't get it off of you, then you get somebody else that has the power of God, because casting out the enemy is part of our agenda as a believer. All right, 1 Chronicles 21:11. Now Satan, designing evil against it, put into David's mind the impulse. So the way you feel that spirit, see Satan, see Leviathan here in 1 Chronicles, put that impulse. It's an impulse to do that. You have to watch your gut feelings during this season. You have to watch what you feel to be your gut, because sometimes it's a deceptive season. Impulse. Then in Psalms 21, it says, for their thoughts were bitter against you. They had an evil design. Evil thoughts have evil designs. They're designed by somebody. In 1 Samuel 18, it said, and Saul cast a javelin, for he thought, how could he become the man that he was? He started out so close to God, and how could he get so far away from God? Because he began to agree with the thoughts that Satan was putting into his mind. You got to be careful. The devil's going to try to make you think wrong thoughts about people and about things. You've got to be very careful. All right, then Zechariah 2:5 says, then I myself will be a protective wall. And that's what God says. That's the promise, Lord. He said, then I will be a protective wall of fire round about Jerusalem. That's pretty well what I wanted to talk about. Just bring you a little bit of life of the personal battle that you, I want to bring it to you personally. Now I want to spend the last 30 minutes here. We're going to watch some short videos, very short. I'm going to show you two videos. I wanted to show you three or four today, but just didn't have it developed. I'm going to show you four videos of, I'm going to show you the first video talks a little bit about the Jezebel spirit for recognize, because you need to be able to recognize it. You can't fight anything you don't recognize. You got to recognize so you can't fight anything that you don't recognize. So we're going to talk, and then we're going to spend about 6 minutes taking excerpts from a much longer message. Then we're going to take about 6 minutes. We're going to talk about the spirit of Absalom. I wanted to show you the other, but we don't really have time tonight, so I wasn't able to develop. And then we're going to conclude. What I'm going to ask you to do, youth of the world tonight, I'm going to ask you to take a communion war pack home. And on a daily basis, I'm going to ask you to take communion before God and to hold that wall up against the enemy. The thing that will crush him is the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And so together, I want you to take one of these packs. You go home, take communion. So we'll conclude with that. So let's follow. We're going to go in with Robert Morris. They're in Gateway in Dallas. We're going to listen to Brother Robert just about 6 minutes here talk about the spirit of Jezebel. Or the spirit of Jezebel may have came and taken her tape. Okay. The warning of the spirit of Jezebel is this. Why do you tolerate her? But it spoke Revelation. It's not the same woman that was living back in Elijah's day. It was a spirit. And then it tells what this spirit does. It said, why are you allowing her to deceive my children? What Jesus was shocked at, the why the church was allowing that spirit to be in it. That's what he said. Why do you tolerate it? Why do you allow the teaching, the sharing? It said, causing my children to commit whoredom, spiritual whoredom, physical whoredom, drawing a sign away from the true God. It pulls allegiance out of true authority. And Jesus' question was, it really wasn't even in fighting it. Why are you tolerating it? Why are you allowing that spirit to be in that church? And so, you know, man, God's convicted my heart deeply over that. Because the question is, why am I allowing it? I feel it. At times I've responded under it. But wherever we can see that allegiance has been made with that, right now your board will give you opportunity to repent or turn around. Because we're going to shut the breaches. We cannot allow the holes. Because if we allow holes to be in the wall, the Bible said this, the viper will strike. The devil is sitting there, walking around. He's walking around right now. You can feel him. That's why I'm talking about the scent. You can scent his destruction is on the way. And he's walking around whatever the wall, whatever the spiritual wall of this church is. Whatever the possibly the spiritual wall of this city is. I don't know, but he's walking around. And he's looking for a hole anywhere he can. So we got to be on guard. There's all the time we need to do right. But in times of attack, a soldier has to do right. Because if a soldier fails while he's under attack, not only does he die, but those die alongside of him.
There's an Old Testament person named Jezebel and a New Testament person named Jezebel, but there's a spirit that was behind both persons, and we're going to talk about that spirit. Revelation 2, verse 18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "These things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know your works." I want you to think about this, the compliment of this. "I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow," now that word in the old King James is tolerate. "You tolerate, you allow that woman Jezebel to allow someone to do as he wishes." Here's the problem with the Jezebel spirit. We don't want to confront it because of what we'll get back. Now, I'm just giving you some generals, all right? Some generalities here. If there's someone in your church that you dread confronting, it is very possible there's a spirit there. It is very possible. You dread either the over-the-top reaction you will get, or the rejection, the withdrawal you will get. Either one. If you dread confronting, if you allow the person to do as he or she wishes, you may be tolerating a spirit that you should not tolerate. Let me give you the six things, the way to recognize a Jezebel spirit, by the way. Insecurity and rejection, pride and arrogance, manipulation and control. So there's a spirit that operates in men and women. It is a manipulating, controlling, insecure, jealous spirit. It comes out of insecurity and rejection, and it becomes manipulating and controlling. Jezebel was rejected by her father and had a controlling mother. Now listen to me carefully. This is a pattern that I've seen. Many people who have the Jezebel spirit feel rejected by the father, and they have a dominant mother. Not all, but many that I've seen. Her father gave her to Ahab to form an alliance. She didn't want to be married to Ahab. She was like a piece of property. She felt rejected by her father, and she became a very dominating person. People who have a Jezebel spirit have to control. They are so wounded that they don't want to be rejected, so they control every person and every circumstance around them. We would call them control freaks. You can be gracious with the person. You can't be gracious with the spirit. By the way, the people who operate in this manipulate mainly through guilt. The Jezebel spirit tries to steal your peace, joy, and confidence. It tries to kill you with sickness and accidents. And it's trying to destroy you with depression and fear. So, what's the answer? The answer is you address it in the person and remove him or her from all leadership unless he or she repents. If the person will repent, then the person can continue to minister or whatever and go through a process. But if the person won't repent, you must remove that person from all authority. And this may sound kind of tough, but you have to remove that person from any personal influence with you. You can't remain friends with a person that won't be humble and teachable. You can't. There's no way.
Lord, we ask you, Lord, so many times we're like a plane trying to fly blind. But Lord, we need you by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to send out drones, send out angelic powers, Lord, we ask you for the Holy Spirit to help us, God. Help us first to identify the intrusion of this Spirit upon each one of us individually. So, Lord, that we ourselves can free ourselves and not allow the enemy to get a controlling factor, not get a stronghold. Because, Lord, if it develops a stronghold, then we will have to be set outside the camp, is what the Bible says. So we cannot, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to recognize it and to understand it and if its influence on each one of us, Lord. And then, Lord, help us to help others, Lord. And Lord, when it comes to the Jezebel spirit, I believe Robert just really shared it so wonderfully that you cannot be friends with the Jezebel spirit. That doesn't help them, Lord. That carries it deeper into bondage. Lord, give us the grace of God for your Holy Spirit to confront through us. Make us strong, Lord. Strengthen our spirits, Lord, to make us strong, to make the stands that need to be made, Lord. Help us, Lord. Lord, today we're not praying for a big church. We're praying for a clean church. And we're praying for a holy church, Lord. To make us a holy church, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, the Absalom spirit, this is probably not the video that we're going to spend about 6 minutes recognizing it. This is probably not the video that I would choose to share it with you, but we didn't have time to get the others ready at the point because I just felt we needed to move forward with getting people to pray with us. So this young man, he is very knowledgeable. He's not the presenter that Brother Robert is, but he's very knowledgeable and he has a deep understanding of the spirit of Absalom. The church divisionary spirit. This is what
I'm Ryan Lestrange, and this is our spiritual warfare series. Today I want to talk about a very fascinating spirit. I call it the spirit of Absalom. Now, Absalom was the son of David. He was the son of the king. You find the story of Absalom in the Old Testament in 2 Samuel chapters 13 through 18. And I believe we can look at the life of Absalom, and we can see a spiritual application of a particular type of demon that tries to come into the church today and into the culture of today's church. Now, the first thing that you've got to understand about what I call the Absalom spirit is it is full of pride and full of mischief. This spirit is a very prideful spirit, and God's kingdom is always founded on humility. You know, the Lord told us, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will promote us in due time. The Absalom spirit is a self-promoting, prideful spirit. It's a spirit that says, look at me. Look at my abilities. Look at my knowledge. Look at my ministry. Look at my accomplishment. Look at my wisdom. And it will cause division within the kingdom of God. In fact, as we look at Absalom's life in 2 Samuel, he was used of the enemy to cause great division and great heartbreak. He turned against his father, the beloved king of Israel, and literally divided the kingdom. David ended up having to leave the palace and take refuge until he won the kingdom back, and it ended up in the death of Absalom. So it's a very tragic story. The other thing Absalom was known for, he was renowned for his looks. We find in 2 Samuel 14:25, it says this, now in all Israel there was no one praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head there was no blemish in him. This means you could look at him from the sole of his foot to the top of his head. There was no wart, there was no wrinkle, there was no imperfection. He was such a good-looking person that people were drawn to him. He had a gift. The Absalom spirit often comes into the hearts of people that have a gift. And the very gift that God gave to a person to help advance and build the kingdom of God becomes a weapon of destruction in the devil's hand. Absalom was blessed with this gift of charisma, of charm, of physical beauty, and it attracted people to him. Now, what he should have done is he should have used that gift to help honor his father and promote his father's kingdom, but he didn't. He began to lust for his father's kingdom. He wanted what did not belong to him. The Absalom spirit wants a position of authority that does not belong to it. This manifests as church splits a lot of times. It manifests through a staff member at a ministry that causes division and goes across town and starts another church and takes half the people. And it begins with deception. Here's some of the things that happen. Absalom's spirit will begin to try to establish its own agenda and promote its own leadership. You know, in a spiritual family, the agenda comes from the father of that family, the head of that family, and then flows down. A good associate or a good affiliate minister should be advancing that agenda. Paul said about Timothy, "I'm going to send him to you because he'll teach my ways." In other words, because he was Paul's disciple, Paul trusted him and knew he would advance the same teaching that Paul had taught. This spirit, though, is an overthrow spirit. It looks to overthrow and invade the kingdom of another and take it over. Absalom rebels against divine order. Doesn't like divine order. Doesn't like the setup of God. It believes that it is better qualified to lead than the God-appointed leader. And so it begins to try to snatch that position of leadership. It'll overlook godly order to fulfill its own desires. It'll convince the person who's being buffeted by this spirit that it is more talented, that it is more anointed than the appointed leadership of the house. Instead of patiently waiting on God to exalt him, Absalom will push forward and forge its own way. You know, Satan was like this. He said, "I will exalt my throne above the throne of God." And Satan looked at every opportunity not to promote the kingdom, but to do what he wanted to do. Some of the symptoms of an Absalom spirit are pride, rebellion, a disrespect for authority, hidden offense. A lot of church splits and leadership issues start through hidden offense. Well, when we're praying daily, when we're receiving communion and coming in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we can't stay offended. Offense is the bait of Satan. Absalom got offended over some things David didn't handle the way he thought they should be handled, and that was the root of this whole thing. It will justify wrongs by pointing to the faults of others. It desires the leadership God's given to someone else. It pursues the hearts of others in order to leave a rebellion. You know, a leader, when they entrust positions of authority to other people within their ministry, they're giving their confidence, their stamp of approval, their loyalty to that person. And there's nothing less gracious when then that person takes the very position of honor and uses it against the leader. That's what an Absalom does. It plays to the offenses, the weaknesses, and the frustrations and fleshly ambitions of others. A lot of times the Absalom spirit will say, "You're not getting recognized enough. If I was the leader, I'd recognize you." And what Absalom does is he moves in the flesh, and instead of letting God perfect his people, he moves and builds his own thing. It's a very destructive spirit, and I believe that we are not going to live bound by this Absalom spirit. You can find out more about this and other teachings here in the demonology class at RyanLestrange.com. You'll get a workbook and you'll get audio sessions where I go in detail about this. Let's live free and stay free.
Amen. This affects every ministry in the church. Every ministry, from the area of prayer ministry all the way down to the praise ministry, teaching ministries, even cleaning ministries. That what this spirit tries to do is to divide us. It tries to divide us. And so I'm going to ask you as leaders of whatever type of ministry that you may be involved with, you need to make sure this spirit does not thrive in your ministry. Wherever it is, wherever you're operating at, you need to check it and make sure that this spirit does not thrive there. Because in the name of Jesus, we're not going to allow any of these evil spirits to have a hold of this ministry or our lives. Can you say amen? Amen. God's going to help us. Now, the other spirit, like I said, is this spirit of Leviathan. Leviathan is that one that I described this morning. It will not expose itself. It stays underlining at all times. But the Bible describes it so detailed in the book of Job. It says all of his scales are pride. All of his workings. It said, and those scales are so tight that nothing can't get between them. You can't convince a person that's operating under that spirit. You can't convince them that they're wrong because they're completely given over to the force of the enemy. They've given way to their thoughts. They've completely given way to this, and pride has so formed, and that's why it's talked about there in the book of Job. Pride has so formed a crust around it that it scales, and it's God talking. It's God's description of it there, and its scales are so tight that no amount of talking to, no amount of trying to help, no appealing toward the love of God, nothing can stop because they've determined to see it through their particular set of eyes. Though it's hard. But in the name of Jesus, we're not going to allow these spirits. Can you say amen? And I really do believe that these spirits have been forged in a greater degree of togetherness, and they have joined forces, El Dorado, and especially the areas that we have went in and declared that we're going to build churches, that these forces have combined themselves together. And so the battle is seeming harder. But I tell you, many other churches are experiencing the very same battle. Gateway Church, there at Roberts Church, you just talk. Because they had sensed that the church was being pulled by these spirits in a wrong direction, they just let a third of their people go. Hundreds of people have been let go from Gateway. Because they sensed these spirits that were trying to pull in a wrong direction. Wrong people, wrong places. Wrong people doing the wrong things. And so in almost every pastor I talk with, there's this sense of this real battle going on. So it's not just us. But sometimes we feel like it's just us, don't we? Praise God. So we're going to watch, Lord. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome every one of these forces of darkness. How many are going to arise in your prayer closet and you're going to help us join together in your prayer closet and combat these spirits? Did you, were you given a card tonight? In the card tonight, it did not have the four spirits on it, did it? That you need to, would you write those down quickly? Would you take your card out? Brother Stephen, yeah, would you list these out? You need to address them by name because Jesus addressed them by name in the book of Revelation when he dealt with it. So you need to address them by name as you take the blood. So if you would write down these four spirits that you will begin to address and attack. And at first you will almost feel foolish, but you got to understand God's called us to be a foolish people as far as what the world's concerned. And we have to look at these things spiritually. So write down the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of Absalom, the spirit of Python, the spirit of Leviathan. And do personal study. The greatest way to find out, do personal study. Man, you can go on Google and make sure you put down Christian view of all of these, or you'll be in far out east somewhere. But make sure you locate a Christian view. But do your studies on this. Take a concordance in the back of your Bible and look up these words. And then go to these places where they're listed at in the Bible and read. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding of the way that these spirits operate. Because these are only a few of the demonic powers that are coming forth or that are to be surfacing during the latter days. Well, when you read the book of Revelation, they come pouring out of the abyss. They just come pouring out of the abyss. They are all types of shapes and forms, even frogs and whatever else. But God's trying to let us know that we're going to fight against something that we've never seen with our natural eye before. Praise God. So, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would join those with us tonight that would take a communion packet. And what I ask you to do in your communion packet is simply, see if I can open up one here. Brother Andy and I could not find the right size of grape juice. We searched, and Brother Don and I, we searched for, but in the communion packet, you simply have communion cups And then you have the juice as you would daily in your prayer time serve yourself communion. And then you have the cracker. Take the cracker, however it is in yours, and just break them into parts and pieces. And then we put this in there. And this to me is one of the most important, because this symbolizes the wall that God's going to help us to build. That we're going to raise up a wall, a shield. Everybody say a shield. God's going to help us do that. God's going to help us to raise up a shield of protection between us and the forces of darkness that would try to be taking us out. You almost feel like a matador, you know. But God's going to help us to raise it up. So if you would join with us, if you're a couple, please just take one and use it between you. But you that will, I want you to come on up right now. It's almost time to start service. And go ahead and start us music, if you would, Gary. As you start music there, then come on in. Let it be a holy time. And Lord, I pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon these, Lord, that are taking these communion sets, Lord. Lord, I pray for the anointing of God upon them, Lord, that you would powerfully use this communion. Joy, join us together. Lord, cause us to be one voice. Lord, cause us to be one heart. Lord, cause us to be one church. Lord, cause us to be joined together in you, for you, through you, Lord God. Lord, help us powerfully and mightily to fight against the forces of evil. Lord, as we hold the blood of Jesus up against the forces of the enemy, God. Lord, help us, O God. Lord, help us, O Lord. Help us, O Lord. And we were talking about earlier about how many that we were believing for. And really the only number that I could come up with was when Jesus sent out 60. You know, Billy. And so that's what we prepared here was 60. So I'll keep watching until all 60 of these are gone. So, yeah, and that, because if Jesus sent out 60 ahead of him as warriors, then, Lord, we deputize these in the Spirit. Why don't you raise your right hand before the Lord? Lord, in the name of Jesus, deputize us, Lord. Deputize us, Lord, to put a stop to the forces of darkness, God. Lord, deputize us, Lord, to energize us, empower us, God, to build a wall against the enemy, oh God. To stop the entrance, to stop the protrusion, to stop the darkness, God, that would try to push its way through, oh God. Lord, help us. Anoint us, God. Lord, as leaders, Lord, that's gathered here tonight, that serving in leadership in various ministries, God. Lord, give us eyes that are open to see, God. Lord, open up our eyes that we would see, Lord, to not allow any of these spirits, Lord, especially not allow that Absalom spirit, Lord, to pull us off course. Lord, the very reason that we would be attacked is because we're treasured by you. We would never be under this attack. No one would ever be tried to be moved away or moved off course unless they was treasured by you, because the devil only wants to hurt those that would hurt you, Jesus. So, Lord, no one that gives way of these spirits are evil or wrong. That's not the picture that you paint here. That's not what you're saying, Jesus. It's not that anyone would mean to go off course. It's not that any one of us would mean to be a part of pulling apart what God is putting together. That's not what it is. But it's because we're a treasure to you, Jesus. Because we're treasured by you, that the enemy would have tried to assault us, to try to pull us apart, to try to start things to be a hose in the wall that would bring destruction into people's lives. I want you to determine in your heart right now if you know that you've been under the influence of at least one of these spirits, I want you to stand. I'm standing because I know that I have. But if you know that you've been on, if you've been recognizing where you're, I want you to tell yourself that you're treasured by God. The only reason that you've been attacked, the only reason is because you're treasured by God. And but God has something so special for you. And the only reason that the enemy would try to attack us and drag us apart is because God's got something so special for us together. We're treasured of the Lord. You're treasured of God. Tomorrow, if one of the, if the spirit of Leviathan fell upon you and began to operate through you and would take over, or would you would yield your control of your life to that, I want you to know you're only treasured by God, the reason that He would want you. And I'm here to say that God's got so much for you, more for you. So recognize that you're the treasure. Recognize that you're not the only one that's experiencing this attack. That the devil did not see evil in you, but the devil saw good in you. And out of that goodness that the devil saw, then he's come to try to assault you, try to break you. That's why the blood of Jesus, the Bible says, one of the major things, the blood of Jesus, it restores an innocent conscience. It restores our conscience. That even when we've been influenced by the enemy, even when we have been so contaminated at times by the enemy, the blood of Jesus restores my innocence. It gives me a right conscience. So, Lord, 2 weeks ago, Brother Brett, in front of this congregation, prayed in our prayer meeting. He said, Lord, expose everything that's of the flesh. And all of us in that prayer meeting, we came into agreement with that, that the Lord was going to expose everything that was of the flesh. He's going to bring it to the surface, because that is of the flesh is going to end up hurting us anyway. And so, Lord, we ask you to bring to the surface. Bring to the surface everything, Lord, that's of the flesh, that the enemy would try to harm us or harm others with, Lord. Lord, bring it to the surface, Lord. Bring it to the surface, God. Cause it to be exposed. Now look at Pastor. If it is exposed in you, we will still much love you.